I'm just so thankful the Lord has given me this opportunity to come and see you guys before I go back and just to share this message with you. As I was really praying, knowing that as I see you guys, as I'm passing through, I'm not here all the time, but to strengthen you with a message that is so vitally important. And as I just look to God's glory and praise, this is something that this church taught me, that the Lord taught me through this church on this very topic of how important the sovereignty of God is and how through this we can persevere through anything. And I wanted to personally share with you a lot of different trials, different things in my own life, going overseas in ministry and just looking to this of what a gift this is in God. And as many of you guys, I'm sure, have your own trials, your own things that you're going through, that this is something you cling to. And so you can go ahead and go on to the next slide. I wanted to take some time and set the stage, first of all, before we dive into Scripture and look at some things, to just share some pictures of my family, some different things, as I talk to you about trials and what the Lord has to say in these things. So this is my family here over in Papua New Guinea. And this is a picture taken with the tribe. I've got four kids. One of them isn't up there. We had a baby being back here on our time of furlough. He's 4 months old. And so this is our family. We live and minister among the Monom people.
Do we want to turn the lights off? Maybe in front?
And this is kind of a good picture of me, too, just looking at the people, of really a reflection of their hearts when they said, hey, we want to put on this worshiping the spirits and this dance and all this stuff in your honor. And I was like, please don't do that for us, you know. And they're like, oh, we're going to worship the spirits anyways, but we want you to know what they look like and how this is entertainment for them and other things too. So not just one of those, as we look at it and just seeing the depravity in that, of not a kind of neat little National Geographic picture, but it's like almost a window into their souls and seeing their depravity, that they do not know the Lord, and this is where the Lord placed us. So these are the people we're serving. For many of you that don't know where Papua New Guinea is, or Monom for that sake, it's in the country of Papua New Guinea, located right above Australia. We're a little volcanic island there on the north coast. That's where we're serving. Sorry, these pictures will kind of shuffle through pretty quick. This is what they look like on a normal daily basis. People ask sometimes when they see the other one, are they always dressing like that, you know, in their total native garbs or whatever? And no, this is what they look like. This is what our village looks like. And the Lord has sent us to these people. There's around 20,000 of them that speak the Monom language, spread out in 29 different villages. And just as far as our situation is, very different from back here. We live totally off the grid there. There's no town power. There's no plumbing. There's no roads. There's no police station, anything. It's completely under tribal law. So we live off of our solar electric system and drink our rainwater that we capture. So that's our living conditions out there in this remote location. And for our supply buying, we go out every couple months. And to make a long story short, we cannot even have our own garden and everything in the tribe because of how many laws there are to appease the spirits. And one of their things that they said is, Ryan, if you have a garden here, if you don't appease the spirits, then you'll curse our land forever, because these spirits, they don't forgive. And so if you do this, you not just curse your time of being here in our land, but it's for the generations to come, and that's something you can't do. So many people have asked me too of, why don't you have a garden, other things, you can cut supplies down, other things. And those are really good questions, and we are trying to do what we can. But we, in reality, to minister to these people and not bring a burden on these people, and so we can freely share God's word, this is some of the cost. And it's expensive in Papua New Guinea to travel, but we have to take a light aircraft. We have to drive around 3 hours down the road. There's a broken bridge that is virtually impassable right now. We have to pay a bunch of bribes to get across on every box, everything like that. Get back in the car, drive another 2-3 hours, depending on road conditions, and then get on a boat for an hour and head out to our island. So that's how we get our groceries about 4 times a year. So whenever I kind of go around in the grocery store too and somebody has their cart full and they're like, oh, sorry, this is so full. We're like, no, that's nothing. We're used to like 4 months of, you know, hype on, you know, pile on the rice and noodles and everything else you can. And so this is the reality of our kids' life. I have a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 4-month-old baby. And my other kids, my baby hasn't been there yet, as we're back here on furlough, but they, our kids know this as their home. And coming back here was interesting. On my time of furlough, there's been a lot of cultural adjustments and everything for my family and a lot of tears for them going, when are we going back home, everything. So when you hear, is it hard going back? It's kind of funny from our kids' perspective. This isn't home to them. It's actually over there. And so, yeah, our kids grew up over there. And just as we've spent the time, many of you know, many of you have been praying for us that I fully checked out, learned the language, and we've had years to be a living testimony before those people. And I was sharing some with Drew and other people, just so many other stories of what God has done and just their perception of all those things, of just seeing the power and life of God in us in contrast to their life has been really amazing, that they come up with all sorts of things of thinking maybe I'm one of their gods or a chief or a dead ancestor that came back to tell them some secrets. They come up with all sorts of things seeing Christ's life in us. So we're actually thankful as you think back and look at so many things of going, man, wouldn't it be nice for like the gift of tongues of Lord, I'm going to beat my head against the wall just with your power. Just speak it into me so I can start declaring your word. But he has used those things, and I praise the Lord of that time spent to live as a testimony before those people and that hard work and that language learning time. So we're done and past that phase. My wife is getting close to it. And lastly, and I'm going to show a clip in a second, we live on a very volcanic island, and it's getting worse, really. So we've been getting letters and other things. It continues to grow more and more dangerous, not safer. And these are just a couple pictures and videos. We have lots of them of our time being there, of just needing to evacuate the volcano at different times with our family. And for years, we were without, and we felt the Lord had it for us. We used to have a boat, and then it sunk. And then we got another one. Or we're going to get another one, but we felt the Lord didn't want us to have one for a while to depend on the people and just that the Lord would use that in relationship time. So it didn't seem intelligent at all to love your wife, love your kids, have little things and waiting towards the shore, and the volcano just keeps getting larger and larger, and you don't know if a boat's going to show up and if you can get off the island. And so we've had some of those things, but it was one of the just a gift from the Lord and a peace through him that we felt to minister to these people during that time, that that's what the Lord have, but it had for us. But praise the Lord, as we go back, we already have the funds for a boat, and we're going to get one right away when we get back. So you can go on. You'll probably have to hit play. And this is going to go into when I'm sharing about trials and we get into God's word of just what it looks like sometimes as I'm standing there with my family and we're wondering if we can get off the island. So that's our house right there that you're looking at. They're telling people to get out of the way, like rocks are coming, and to go grab water and all that stuff. And I've heard since being back on my time of furlough, we've already had 2 more eruptions and rock hit our house 2 separate times during our time back. So So you guys can imagine, as this is in your backyard, that kind of, I mean, what's going through your head is you have a family, little kids that are scared, and it doesn't come across on the audio. Lots of the times the shockwaves will knock things off our shelves or our pantry or other things like that can be really loud. But as you're just feeling these things and going through these things, sometimes a video like that, a picture is worth a thousand words, right? It all depends. Our last one, it kept continuing to go off for about 2 weeks before our village kicked us out with them, because sometimes it's hard to tell. We're always under like red alert, so to speak. And so there's no good time of saying, can you get a warning and go? We would never be able to minister there. And our last time we waited about 2 weeks, and it was all of a sudden 2 a.m. and just really going off hard. Like every night we would wake up to loud noises, watching lava, all that. But around 2 a.m, all this ash is blowing inside of our house, and we're trying to hold our little blind shut and get little dust masks on our kids, but we couldn't even get out till morning. So it's just growing more and more powerful. And that went on, I think we were out on the base, the mission base, for a month or two. I don't remember, but it's hard to gauge, because I went back in and it started to die down, and then had to turn right around and it evacuated again and everybody else ran. So there's a lot of, I mean, kids in here, not going to share kind of any graphic stories or anything, but there's a lot of harm that comes with that being out there, and some of the things our villages went through and seen in the other villages and all that. But you can go on to the next slide. The purpose in showing you some of these things to set the stage and to put some of these things before you is to ask you guys, as we really move into application, I'm not just talking about theoretical, but I'm really talking about your lives today, living here, things every one of you are going through, and if you're not, you're going to go through things. And so just moving away with that of just showing that video of, when you look at that, does a metaphorical volcano stand before you today? Do the current trials in your life feel equally despairing to you today? And to take time real quick and be thinking about this, not just trials in general, I want you guys to think of a very specific one you're facing right now. A real big one that, and it's all different, it can feel just as large of going, for me, it might be the volcano, it might be all these sorts of other things, but the reality is, with health issues, with all sorts of stuff, we have big things in our lives. And you can go ahead and go to the next slide here. So when you're going through these things and you're thinking about, yeah, right now, Ryan, I'm going through these medical things, or I'm going through this with my husband-wife relationship, or I'm dealing with this with my kids, or just whatever you have. And sometimes as we read scripture, as we get encouragement from others, and especially, and this is what saddens me and why I wanted to share it, in our world today, so much is against the sovereignty of God. And when you hear things like this, if you take things from a human perspective and from a free will kind of point of view, that it just, everything rests on us. It rests on us, how we're going to deal with these things, how we're going to get through these things, all of it. This is where scripture can almost feel discouraging sometimes at looking at it in a wrong perspective. Because if I said this about your trial right now, or things you're going through or thinking about or anxious about, hey, you're going through this, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Does that encourage your heart? Sometimes, have you ever heard that? You're like, you're right. This is fun that I'm facing a life-threatening situation, and I'm really feeling the joy right now. I mean, you guys have probably felt that, so have I, in reality, that you go, I mean, we know it's God's word, and sometimes it can almost feel unrealistic of God calling us to things that are unrealistic of, how am I supposed to count it as pure joy when I constantly face these threats and my kids might die over these things. How do I count it as pure joy? So this is what I wanted to share to you and what this church and the leaders and you guys here have taught me and has powered me through with total confidence in missions and has been one of the very biggest blessings on my life. So the secret, and just putting this really into practice, the secret to victory lies in our faith in the sovereignty of God. You can go to the next one. So as I move to scripture, and I'm talking about real practical things, is I'm just standing there with my kids, with my wife, the volcano's blaring and going, a boat was supposed to be here. We have no way to evacuate. Our villages told us how they've almost been snuffed out from not being able to breathe sometimes, and they're trying to breathe through clothes and all this other things. And thinking about those things of just counting trials is pure joy, or just these circumstances of being before the Lord. And this is what encourages my heart constantly, and that you really have to settle securely in your life and in your faith and cling to these things. And don't listen to the lies of the world or cultural influence or other things where, you know, there's a lot of that name it or claim it, or it's up to you, or your faith wasn't strong enough and now you crumble because of that. And if my running and race to missions at Monum relied on my own ability outside of God's to just muster up enough goodness of faith, I would be shot. Like, it would not happen of all these things. And these are what I cling to. And I want you guys to just think about your trials right now. Listen as I read these passages. In Job 42:2 says, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. And to ask you in reality of go to these things, do you really believe that in a practical way? Not theoretical, but practically in whatever trial you're in right now of going, God has a purpose. Going on to the next one in Psalms 135:6, the Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. In Proverbs 16:4, the Lord works out everything. And this is something that we can skip and just think big picture. God has some big picture things. But just really reading, do you believe that? Do you believe everything? Whatever you're facing right now, does that include that? Does it include every little detail, everything to its proper end? Even the wicked for the day of disaster. And this is something that I really wrestled with as a young believer in some of that of God's calling and the Lord knows who are his and just thinking, well, man, how does that work? And it's really just a wrestling with scripture to look and to see those things, that God even has a purpose for the wicked in the day of disaster. And that's a hard thing. But as scripture says too, he's not willing that any should perish, right? So in Ephesians 1:11 also says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything again, in conformity with the purpose of his will. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. There's just over and over, and I can't emphasize it enough. And it's one of these things that sometimes, I mean, the Lord withholds us from understanding things at certain times or whatever it is. As I came here years ago before I went to the mission field, is this church challenged me in my beliefs and into the scripture of saying, dig deep, look into this, really consider these things, how I faced just so much of a blindness of, I mean, it just seems so obvious now as I look back and going, man, it is just written all over. And I don't want to exhaust us with 100,000 verse or the entirety of every narrative in scripture of going, I can't emphasize this enough. This is not a questionable thing. This is the fact that God will work out every one of his purposes, and your trials have a purpose. So we can go to the next one. So what brings us confidence in trials? And I put a picture of a recent picture of our family up there of what brings us confidence. And as I'm passing through here, as I had opportunity to share, what is the Lord teaching me? How can I encourage the body? And I mean, ultimately, what does the Lord want me to share with you? What really brings us personally is a personal testimony for myself, for Shelby, confidence in trials. And we're just a normal family. Sometimes we can look at different people and go, wow, they're spiritual giants, or they've got, I mean, God's really at work with them with kind of neat things, and we can put people on wrong pedestals or whatever. And I just wanted to say, we're a normal family. These guys know us here. We're not anything special at all. The Lord has just called us to a different task than you guys have. And you guys have your tasks that are equally as important as what we're doing over there. And it takes an entire body. So we're just normal, have a simple faith, and we know what it is to suffer. And you can click to the next one. I want to just share some things to make this real as we look to God's word, as we see the scripture, hearing that, going, okay, we know you're saying God is sovereign. We know the Bible says that. But in just practical application and testimony, this is what I want to say we have been through and how vitally important this is to understand this and secure this in your hearts. These are just, I sat down with Shelby when I got to this point, telling Shelby, okay, I'm going to share on these different things. And we were praying, and I sat down on the couch with her in the living room, and I said, real quick, what are some things that we've went through as we look at how God has used trials and what we have went through? What are some things, real quick, Shelby, that you and I can just write down? So we jotted down some things in 5 minutes, and I noticed some of even my biggest struggles I didn't even list on here. But just as a quick write down, these are some things, and I want to mention them. Held up and robbed by machete point over 20 times, and it's not the last. Whenever we travel, we're held up constantly, and I can't do anything about it because if I tell the police or my modern people, they'll war over it, and lives can be lost because of that. So the sake of just getting held up constantly is a part of our ministry. I had our vehicle attacked by a group of men while trying to get away with my wife and kids. So as I'm in and just a group of guys come out, don't want money or anything, trying to attack us, get in our car as we're in slow driving through off-road situations. Had machete thrown, stuck in my car, glass bottle thrown at us when we were walking, large rocks thrown while I was in the middle of a village fight one time, and just even on the road, they will throw giant ones out. Evacuated from the volcano 3 times already, and it won't be the last. It's growing worse. Fear of being isolated from medical help and medical emergencies. We have poisonous snakes and all that on the island, and absolutely zero help if it happens at night. So they said, if one of your kids get bit by a poisonous snake or any big thing happens at night, you have to wait till morning. There's no help for you. And so we're going into that. Face dangers at sea, almost sunk with Avery, have been stranded out there. There's no Coast Guard. Face multiple tropical illnesses in the tribe. Got chikungunya. It hurt for me to walk for about 6 months with my joints afterwards. My wife still faces some nerve damage in her arm because of that, and just really bad infections slowly disappear from our families and friends back in the States. There's continual sacrifices that we can look, and I don't want you to hear this and think, woe is me, or think this is a bad thing. This is actually something that has been a treasure, that I can really say these are privileges when you look at trials. And I won't burn up all of our time here. I can just keep going through the list of just extreme hardships and looking at all of these, of counting it pure joy when you face these things. There's so many neat stories of what God, when we're looking at it through a perspective of the purpose of his will and what he's going to do, what God is accomplishing and going, wow, it's neat what God did with this and with this one and with this one. And just even is we're missionaries, right? And missionaries depend on support. You're on a monthly basis. Some months are low, high, anything, and you're on that edge of going, will we have enough? Will we have enough to buy our plane tickets? And the Lord has done all these things is a gift to give us dependency on him and to show him his power. And I think, where would my faith be and this ministry be without these trials? If I removed them, actually, would this be a gift? And this is where, it just hurts my heart hearing it here about pray away all your trials of like your genie God. Just name it and claim it, gone. God wants you rich and perfectly healthy and happy, and just name it and claim it, Ryan. And looking at it of going, God has actually blessed me with these things of dependency and seeing God way further than if I wouldn't have. So you can jump to the next one. So here's what I wanted to encourage you with is you hear things as you face things around. Just hear and divide and hearing different things. The holding on to that biblical perspective of God is sovereign, and he will work out in every one of these trials that he will accomplish his will, puts you in this position. And this is where I take courage, and I'm excited to go back. I'm not, as I look at all these things and go, wow, there's a bunch of things ahead of me. I actually want to go back. I'm excited to go back. My wife is excited to go back. And it's hard, but these things are a privilege. And why? Because we can look at it from this. We are never fighting from a losing standpoint if we believe in the sovereignty of God. And I hope for you guys is you're wrestling those things as you have trials going. I don't know how this makes sense at all. My health is failing, and I have a ministry that God depends on me to carry these things out. How does that look? But just going back to scripture and seeing it in God's eyes, that he has his plan and purpose that he's going to work out, and it can't be stopped. And that gives me the greatest confidence as a missionary going, wow, I can faithfully serve behind, and it doesn't hinge on me. I can be killed tomorrow. God doesn't need me. He can use rocks if he wants to. So that's a huge, when you think about just mental toughness, how important it is in sports and just every aspect, like the Navy SEALs, read things on them and going, wow, it's impressive, their mental toughness and some of these things, and just looking to this, the mental toughness that this gives us, that's reality. It's not even a false hope that God is going to do all these things. So this has been a great blessing to me. And I'm going to close on two more passages. In Isaiah 46, 8 through 10 says this, remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. And as I look to my ministry ahead, there's tons of things, as I'm honest, going, Lord, why me? There's a thousand people, I mean millions, way more talented and cut out for what I'm doing than I am. And I just go, Lord, these are obstacles that seem nearly impossible, but looking at this going, see, that's a selfish mindset already, that I'm looking at it in a very human perspective, need to be asking, what is the Lord will, and where is he calling me that I can just faithfully trust him, as we have stories in scripture over and over about a people that may be the last pick that God uses to do great things. So in Revelation 7, 9 through 10 says this, after this I looked, and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb of God, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And my question when I look at that and think, is there any way through human will this can be overthrown? What's going to happen? It's already been declared that this is going to happen. There's no guesswork that man or anything can destroy, that one day this is going to happen. And so I'm really excited, not hinged on me at all, of looking, going, I can't wait to be for eternity surrounded with lots of the modern people. There's going to be people from the modern people that God did. And for all eternity, we get to enjoy their fellowship and relationship as we glorify the Lord together. So that's really exciting to me. And just bringing back, if you secure that in your minds and heart in a practical way, that you're never fighting from a losing standpoint. And you can't have a single trial that's outside of that where it doesn't apply, of knowing, hey, God has us secure. All these things, all these trials, God has a plan and purpose. And I cannot see, just being honest, I can't see probably 75% sometimes of what God does and the reasoning to it. Sometimes I hear somebody, a missionary, is about to share the gospel in the tribe and they get killed. And now the gospel is not being preached and they're waiting for missionaries. And you're like, how can that be, Lord? That doesn't seem right. And just looking at it again from Scripture and going back, God is going to accomplish all of His purposes. He's already declared it from the end and beginning. And what He asks from us is to be faithful and pray. And those are the things I want to encourage you guys to, is just pray and be faithful. But do not worry about the outcome, and don't look to actually be the one to conquer the outcome. Look for God to do that, to trust God at His purpose, and just be faithful and go behind. It's not about us or what we're going to accomplish. So just weigh in personal testimony to you guys today. That's what I wanted to share to strengthen this church, of how this church here has built me up. They've pointed me to Scripture and what God has done in our lives to just give us such great security of facing continual things and counting it joy, going, wow, my wrestle in all those situations and trials and bad things really comes down to, do I trust God? That's really it, is not having the reasoning of it, of going, I don't know why, or why did this happen, Ryan? I don't know, but can you trust God? And if you trust God, your life will be blessed and you can accomplish everything. Really, I mean, in going back to that, the Lord will accomplish everything, not us. I don't want to point it on us, because He's going to do it through us, whatever He has. So thank you for letting me share that with you and seeing you guys again. And please be praying for me as our family heads back in June. Thanks.